So we are holding on Ayin Amud Bey's three lines from the bottom. So the Mishnah had said that now we're going through the rest of the chain, the rest of the tefillos and kiddush adayim v'raglayim and changes of clothes of the Kohen Gadol. So we said that at one point he has the fourth tevila and the fourth kiddush, and he changes into bigdei lavan, the seventh and eighth kiddush, whatever. And he changes into the bigdei lavan for the second time that day. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, it was actually a different set of bigdei lavan, and he goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim to take out the kaf and the machta that he had left there earlier. So Tanan Abanam, we learn in a braisa about that. When the Pasuk says, Uvo Aaron al Oyo Moyed, the Pasuk says that Aaron should come to the Oyo Moyed. Now the Pasuk goes like this: Uvo Aaron al Oyo Moyed, Ufoshat as big day habod ashalabash bavoye la kodesh. He should take off the linen garments that he had worn when he wore when he came into the kodesh, vihi nicham sham, and he should leave them there. Then the Pasuk says he should tovel and tovel do kiddush adayim v'raglayim and put on his clothes and go out and bring the other oilus. So lama hu ba. Now why is he coming into the oil moed, into the heichel? Now obviously the Ramban points at Rashi and the Ramban point out on the Pesukim over there. Obviously you can't say it means in the simple sense that he comes in there in order to take off the big dick kahuna and leave them there. Why would he be getting undressed in the heichel, and why would he be dafka leaving them there in the heichel? So the reason is he's coming in lahotzias a kaf bes a machta. He's coming in to take out the kaf and machta that he brought in earlier that day. Shakola parsha kula nemra ala seder chutz mi pasuk zeh. You should know that the entire parsha is given in order, with the exception of this pasuk. So this pasuk is out of order. It actually belongs after the next couple of psukim that describe the Eloi and the El Ha'am that he brings. Then comes this pasuk. How do we know taka that it's out of order? Amar of Chista Gmiri. We learned this earlier in the Masechta as well. We have the Kabbalah as a halacha l'Moshe Sinai that there are chomish tevilas v'asara kedushin tovel kohen gadol makadosh boi b'yom. We know that there are five times the kohen gadol has to tovel and 10 times that he has to be makadosh his hands and feet on that day, and each time is in connection with one of his changes of clothes. V'iyam kesidron ksivi. If you thought that all the pesukim are in order and nothing's out of order, lo mashkachas la'ela sholosh tevilas v'shisha kedushin. Then you would only have 3 tefillos and 6 kiddushin. In other words, if you look at the simple psukim without considering what we just said, then you would have like this. It describes, first he wears the big day zahav and does the tamid in the morning and whatnot. Then he changes into big day lavan, does the entire avodah of Yom Kippur, everything that we described in the previous parakim. Then if we said the pasuk is actually in place where it belongs, then it would mean right there, still in big day lavan, he goes and takes out the kaf and machta. Then he goes and changes and tovels and does kiddush adayim v'raglayim and changes into big day zahav and does the rest of the avodah of the day. And so you only have 3 changes of clothes, and with each change you have 2 kiddushim, so you have 6 kiddushim. And we know there have to be 5 and 10 respectively. So necessarily that must mean that there's another time when he changes into Big Day Lavan, and that in turn requires that there's another time that he changes into Big Day Zahav, and so forth. Why Taka is the Pasuk out of order? So there's a couple of explanations about it. The Ramban says a reason is because in general, when the Torah is talking about something, usually it finishes with that topic before it goes on to another topic. So in this case, since it's talking about the Big Day Lavan, so it finishes talking about what he does in Big Day Lavan, and only then does it start talking again about what he does in Big Day Zahav. We talked about before on Daf Lamed Beis when we learned this, a different vote from the Vilna Gaon. He says that with that Aaron HaKohen uniquely would have been allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim whenever he wanted, provided that he brings these korbanos. Later Kohenim Gadolim, no, only on Yom Kippur. But so we have Moshe could go in whenever he wants without needing korbanos. Aaron could go in if he brings all these korbanos. And anybody else could go in only on Yom Kippur and with the Korbanos. So the point is, in other words, if he did that on some other day other than Yom Kippur, their tackle would be only three tvilos and six kedushim, because now Lachal Moshe was sinai, but 5 and 10 is only for Yom Kippur. So then, in fact, this pasuk would be in order. Then there's no need to break up what he's doing in Big Day Lavan. Okay. So anyway, so that's the point. So that's the point. So there has to be something that breaks up between one Big Day Lavan and the next in order, and therefore that requires us to say that the pasuk is out of order. So the Gemara is going to go on now to discuss how we know that it's Davka in the order that we said before, that we discussed before. We had yesterday the Machloikas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva about the order of it, and then we had the different opinions of the Rishonim within each of their opinions. But Tosfos actually earlier in the Masechta asks how we know anyway, maybe everything in Big Day Lavan takes place at the same time, and we break up something involving the Big Day Zahav. And Tosfos brings from, if you analyze the wording of the psukim, it comes out clearly that there has to be a going out and then a coming back in between the two times in Big Day Lavan. But now the Gemara asks, Maski for Rab Zeira. So Rab Zeira questioned that. He says, fine, but how do you know that, like this we discussed yesterday, that you have various musafim that take place between the second and fourth during the third one? We had the Machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, exactly what those were. But who says that you have Eloi and El Ha'am are in there? Maybe you would say that, let's look back at the Pesukim. You have like this. The Pesuk says that the Pesuk says again, that Uvah Aaron al-Oyo Moed, Ufashat is Big Day Abad, etc. Then the Pesuk says he goes out and does Eloi Ves El Ha'am. So now maybe you should say that Eloi and El Ha'am, the Musafim that we talked about before, maybe those take place only after the fourth one. You're asking what you break up between the third one and the fifth one. You put in over there the Sur, the Duma Mafsikle, the Sur, Hanasa Bachutz. Maybe you stick in there the Sur of the Chathos of the Musafim, which is not even mentioned in Parashas Achrimos. It's only mentioned in Parashas Pinchas. That way we don't have to mess up the order of the Psukim. That way we can say, Va'aron al Oyo Moed does mean that he goes in to take out the calf in the matzah. Then, so we have, in other words, the order would be, so he does the avodah of Yom Kippur, then in there, then for the third tevilah and the third change of clothes, we stick in the sur hanasa b'chutz, which is described in Parashas Pinchas. Then going back to the psukim in Parashas Achrimos, we continue. He goes in to take out the calf in the matzah. Then he goes out, changes into Big Day Zahav, does Eloi and El Ha'am. So how do you know it's not that? And then that way we don't have to mess up the order of the psukim. Amar Abaya, Amar Kra, yes, but the pasuk says v'yotza v'asa asolase. The pasuk says he should go out and do his ola, implying mitzia rishona obed ela ve'ela am. The first time he comes out of the heichel that's described in the psukim, then it must be that he's doing eloi and ela am. So therefore, it can't be like you're saying that he only does those later by the fifth change, because meanwhile he's already gone out and done the sur. He's already done the sur chatas from Parashas Pinchas. Therefore, necessarily, it must mean that Eloi and El Ha'am take place during the third change of clothes. You have a few pesukim before that where it says v'yotza, but there it's not talking about going out to the azara. There it means he goes out to the mizbeach hazahav from the area near the paroiches and sprinkles the blood there on the Mizbeach HaZahav. But here we're talking about when it says again, V'yotza, so it means it's the first time he's actually coming out of the Heichel. So therefore, so that necessarily still requires us to say that the Pasuk of Va'aron al Oyo Moed is out of place. So in other words, the proper order of things is he does the Avodah of Yom Kippur, then V'rochatz es Psara B'mayim V'lobash es B'gadah V'yotza, then he goes out and does Eloi V'Elam, that's the third Tevilah and the third change of clothes. Then later on, he goes back in and changes back to Big Day Lavan and goes and takes out the calf and the machta. That's the Uvo Aaron al Oyo Moed, which we're saying is out of order. And then he continues and does the and changes into Big Day Zahav and does the rest of the avodah. So that's one way of understanding it, because it says v'yotza. Because it says v'yotza, then that means that that the first time he goes out of the heichel already has to be that he's doing eloi and el ha'am. Rava says, Rava Amar, Robert gives a different explanation. Omar Kro ufashat as big deabod asher lavash. Ufashat as big deabod. Let's look at the pasuk. It says that he goes into the oil moed. And it doesn't say for what. Then it says that ufashat as bgadav. Ufashat as big deabod. He takes off the big deabod and the pot. Now she'en tamadlima asher lavash. Now what does the pasuk continue? It continues that he takes off the clothing asher lavash that he had worn. Now what do you need to say that? Klum adam poshet ela mashal lovish. Does a person take off? And if a person is taking off something, obviously he wore it. So why do we need to mention that he wore ela matam adayma shalavash? Means shalavash kvar. It means the pasuk must be implying that at this point he's putting on something that he's taking off something that he already put on. In other words, therefore, it must be, therefore, that this is already the second time that he is in Big Day Lavan. So I said it wrongly, sorry. Rashi explains, Rava is not coming to answer Rav Zeira's question. We had Rav Zeira's question, how we know that, fine, there has to be a break between the two things, between the two avodas that take place in Big Day Lavan. How do we know that it's not the Sur Hanasa B'chutz? And the answer was because since the pasuk says v'yotza, then it means the first time he's going out of the heichal, then it has to be that he's doing the avoda that it describes over there, his ram and the ram of the people. Fine. Now Rava is going back to the original question: how we know that the pasuk of Va'aron al Oyel Moed is out of order in the first place? Again, we said if you look at the pasukim in order, then it would seem that after he does all the avodah of Yom Kippur, then the pasuk would say he goes into the Oyel Moed, takes off the Big Day Kahuna and leaves them there, and then puts on the Big Day Zahav and goes and does the rest of the avodah. So we said it can't be that way because then you only have three changes of clothes, and we know there have to be five. So now Rava is giving a different answer, how we can show from the pasukim themselves that there's two times that he puts on Big Day Lavan. Namely, the fact that the pasuk says that he has to take off the clothes asher lavash, that he wore. Now, that's the thing. A person only takes off something if he already wore it. It means these are the clothes, this is the type of clothes that he already wore before. Now, it's not the same outfit, actually. We learned earlier in the Masechta that he has two outfits of Big Day Lavan, one for the morning, one for the afternoon. We learned earlier in our Masechta, in the morning he has a more expensive one, in the afternoon he has a cheaper one. Nevertheless, though, it's still the type of begadim, the Big Day Lavan, and the fact that the Torah adds the words Asher Lavash implies that there's two times that he wears such begadim. And that is, therefore, necessarily, it has to be one for the avodah and one for going in to take out the calf and the machta. So therefore, it can't be that those two things happen back to back. Maskif for Rabbi Bar Rav Shila, but again, Rabbi Bar Rav Shila says, let's look at the flow of the Gemara then, because I didn't say it quite right then. You have, again, the flow of the Gemara was, how do we know that posik is out of order? Rav Chista had said, because Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai, that you need 5 and 10. So then Rav Zeira had asked on that how do you know that there's the Eloi and El Ha'am in between? Maybe the Psukim are in fact in order, and you put the Sur Hanasa B'chutz, the Sur, the Chatos that goes together with the Musaf in between them, because that's not even mentioned in this parasha, that's mentioned in Parashas Pinchas. So in other words, we take a break from what's in Parashas Achrimos, do one Korban that it says in Parashas Pinchas, and then resume with what it says in Parashas Achrimos, and everything in Achrimos is in order. So we said the reason why not is because since the pasuk says v'yotza v'asa, that he goes out and does Eloi and El Ha'am, then it means it has to be that he does them then, right, the first time that he comes out of the heichal. So now when Rava is giving a different explanation, how we know to begin with that the pasuk is out of order, because it says Asher Lavash, so now you have the same question, Maskif lo Rava bar Rav Shila. So Rava bar Rav Shila asks on him the same question that Rav Zeira asked on Rav Chista, the Eimer de Mafsik le Sur Hanasa B'chutz. Maybe you should say that he breaks it up with the Sur Hanasa B'chutz. Again, that wouldn't require us to put the Psukim out of order. Maybe then, so again, you would have, he does the main avoda of Yom Kippur in Big Day Lavan, changes into Big Day Zahav, does the Sur, brings the Sur as a korban chatas, changes into Big Day Lavan, then we go back now to what it says in Parshas Achrimos, he takes out the Taf and Machta, and then changes into the Big Day Zahav, and does Eloi and El Ha'am together with the fifth change of clothes. So then you don't have to mess up the order of the psukim. And again, the answer is the same thing. Haksib, Yotzava Asa, the same answer as we gave to Rav Zeira's question, we're giving to Rav Bar Avshila's question, since the pasuk says, Yotzava Asa, he should go out and do the avoida involving his ram and the ram of the people, then that means that that has to be right after, that has to be the next time after he comes out of the heichel, which therefore requires us that it's during the third, change of clothes and not the fifth one. So now the Gemara asks, "V'cholak parasha kula nemer ala seder." So you're telling me that except for that one pasuk, "Uva Aaron al oyel moed," pasuk chav gimel, you're telling me that everything else is in order. V'hakroy ksivi. But let's look at some other pasukim over there. The pasuk says, "V'eschele v'chatas yachter mezbecha." The pasuk says that the pasuk says he burns the chelav of the chatas on the mezbeach. V'hoder, and only then after that does the pasuk mention that. The ace parachatos, the ace sirachatos, that then the parachatos and sirachatos, the par and the sir whose blood was brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, are taken outside the machne and burned. In other words, if you go according to the order of the psukim, first he's burning the emurim of this par and sir. Only then is he sending off the rest of the bodies of these animals to be burnt. The iluan nantanan. Now we learned previously in our parak, we said that if you're seeing the Kohen Gadol lane from the Torah, which we said takes place after the Sur La'azazel reaches the desert, then you're not able to see the Par and Sur being burnt, because both of those things happen at the same time. Whereas the Emurim of the Chatas, everybody agrees that they're done later on. You do them, we talked about yesterday, if we're according to the different opinions of Rishonim, whether they're done in connection with the third change of clothes or the fifth one. But in any case, the Kriya of the Kohen Gadol takes place still during the second change of clothes, or we said he has the option, if he wants, of changing into his regular clothes and laying in those. But either way, that's before the third Tevilah. So in other words, there also you have the psukim are out of order. The par and the sur, chatas, which are being taken out of the azara, they're being taken out of Yerushalayim to be burnt. That takes place during the second change of clothes, before the third tevilah, and the emurim take place no earlier than the third one. The third one, according to Rashi, the fifth one, we said, according to some other Rishonim. Anyway, there also you have psukim out of order. So the answer is Ema Chutz mi Pasuk Zeh Ve'elach. You're right. When we say that the Pasuk of Va Aaron al Oyel Moed is out of order, we don't mean only that Pasuk. We mean from that Pasuk and on. Everything else up to that point, the first 22 Pasukim of the Parasha, is all listing the Avodah in order. After that, you have things that are listed out of order. Which again, the idea would be, like the Ramban says, because the Torah finishes up with one topic before moving on to another topic. So having mentioned that he brings the par and the sarachatos, so the Torah finishes off mentioning that about him burning the Erimurim. But it doesn't mean that he burns them right then. It just means that he burns them at some later stage. So the Gemara asks, so my chozes to meshabshes kroi. Okay, so what makes you say that we should say so many psukim are out of order? Shabbish Mafsnissa. Say instead that the Mishnah is out of order. Say that the Mishnah has a mistake in it. In other words, that the Mishnah shouldn't have said that the Par and Sur are being burnt while the Kohen Gadol was laning. Say that it takes place afterwards. Where, after all, does the Tana himself get the order that he's telling us from? So the answer is Omar Abaya, Omar Kro. Yeah, but let's look at the Pasuk. When the Pasuk mentions about burning the Par and the Sur Hachatas, so you have like this. The Pasuk says that in later Pesukim over there, I really should have brought out a Chumash today. We can follow it. I mean, that's fine. We have Torah Rashalom on the bottom over here. I have it at least. Okay. So you have like this. After it mentions that the Par and Sur have to be burnt, so the Pasuk continues. The Pasuk continues like this. The order goes like this. The pasuk says the chelav is burning on the mizbeach. Now we're saying that pasuk is out of order. Now then the pasuk continues like this. The one who sent the goat to Azazel is tameh, and he and his clothes are tameh, and he has to dip them in mikveh. Then the pasuk says, as far as this par and sur of chatas, which they have to be taken outside the machna. And the ones who burn them, and the one who burns them, Vasura Fosam, is also Yechabis God of Arachat Psara. He and his clothes are Tameh. So since the Pasuk mentions them in the same kind of expression, Vaham Shaleach and Vahasurif, that means Mama Shaleach to Meikra, Afsurif to Meikra. So it means like this: when was the Sur La'azazel sent off? earlier because we said everything up until this point was in order. So that took place. The Sur Lazazel was sent off in Pasuk Chaf Aleph and in Pasuk Chaf Aleph and Chaf Beis, which is before Pasuk Chaf Gimel. We said everything up to Pasuk Chaf Gimel is in order. So now when it says Vam Shalayach as a Sur Lazazel, doesn't mean that now it's being sent. It means as far as going back to what we said before, we talked about the Sur Lazazel. Rashi said it's like the expression a person might say, you know, I mentioned this briefly before. Let me go back now into that detail and explain it. So this person that previously we said in Pasuk Chaf Aleph Chaf Beis went and took the Sur Lazazel, he is Tomei and his clothes are Tomei. So now when it says in the same kind of expression, Vasurdif, the same mishkal, the same grammatical form, it says Vehasurdif and the one who burned them, that means Mama Shalayach to Meikra, just like the Mashalayach took place earlier, Afsurdif to Meikra, the same way the burning of the Par and the Sur took place earlier. So therefore that shows us that it's out of order. So the order is in fact that So again, the order is he sends the Sur Lazazel, then he goes in lanes. Okay, the Pasuk doesn't mention the laning. Then he at that time also still in Bigdei Lavan, he sends off the Par and the Sur to be burnt. Then after that he changes into Bigdei Zahav and brings Eloi and El Ha'am, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, and according to, we had the different opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva about which Musafim are brought at that time as well. Then the Emurei Chatas, he's burning again, either at that point together with Eloi and El Ha'am, or maybe together with the fifth one, but only later on. The point is, in other words, so the Pasuk Vam Shalayach Asar LaZazel means it's referring back to something that happened before. The Pasuk Vasar Defoisim is also referring back to something that happened before. So even though the Pasuk Ve'es Parachatas Ve'es Sirachatas, that they should be burnt, even though it's written after the burning of the Emurim, it actually takes place before them. And now the Pasuk is implying that by saying, let me inform you, that as far as what we talked about before, that these korbanos have to be burnt, then you should know the people who burn them are tamei and their clothes are tamei. And again, it would be the idea that we finish off with each topic before we go on to the next one. So the question is, the question still is, Adraba, maybe learn the other way around. So again, Mama Shaleach to Meikra, Afsurdif to Meikra. Just like the word Mashaleach means somebody who sent it already previously, and we already mentioned him, and now we're going back to him to explain another detail about him. The same thing is true of Surdif. It doesn't mean that it takes place now. It means we're referring back to something that took place earlier. So the question is, Adraba, maybe say the other way around. Masurdif to hashtaf, Mashaleach to hashta. Maybe the other way around. Maybe say that Masurdif is referring to right now. Right now they're burning them. After the Emurim of the Par and the Chat and the Sur are burnt on the Mizbeach. And then say, Af Mashaleach to hashta. And then say that Mashaleach also means right now. So maybe only now at this point in the Avoida, after Eloi and El Ha'am, only then is the Sur Lazazel sent off. And the answer is no. The word veham shaleach and the one who sent it clearly implies that we're talking about something that we said before. As Rashi says again, that it obviously represents the kind of thing, like a figure of speech that a person would say, as far as that mashaleach, which we previously talked about, what he does, let me give you another detail about him. Therefore, obviously, that clearly means that it happened before. There's no way you can say that it means that it's happening now. So all that is one explanation. So that's what it means, in other words. So all the psukim, so in other words, among the psukim from Pasuk Chaf Gimel and on, there are various ones that are out of order. Besides for Pasuk Chaf Gimel itself, of Bo Aaron al Oyo Moed, which we said is out of order because it takes place only after Eloi and El Ha'am, so Chaf Gimel and Pasuk Chaf Gimel and Chaf Dalet are switched around. You also have some of the later psukim also are describing things which actually took place earlier, but the Pasuk is only describing them now in the context of other dinim about them. Rava Amar, Rava says a different answer. There's another way we can show that the psukim are that the earlier psukim are in order, including sending off the Sur Lazazel, but the later psukim are out of order. Because the pasuk says about the Sur Lazazel, Ya'amad Chai, it should be kept there standing alive. Which means, as we said, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, Ad Masa Yehei Zokok Lamed Chai, up to what point in the Avodah does the Sur Lazazel have to be standing there and still alive? Where, if it dies at any point before that, then you have a problem and you need a new Sur Lazazel, as discussed in the previous Perek. That is Ad Shas Kapara. So the pasuk says it has to be standing there alive until lechaper olav, until the kapara is accomplished. And the emes hashas kapara b'shas matan damim. Now, what is the kapara? Only the application of blood throughout shas, throughout Torah. Whenever it talks about korbanos, and throughout shas, always we have the kapara of a korban is accomplished by sprinkling the blood of it where it's supposed to go. Anything that takes place after that, such as burning the emurim, is not part of the kapara. Therefore, the pasuk is clearly implying that the sar lazazel only has to be there until you finish sprinkling the blood of the sar lashem, and then after that, if it dies, then there's no big deal. So therefore, that's the point at which it's sent off. So you can't say that it should mean, as we're thinking, that maybe the sar lazazel has to be around until after Eloi and El Ha'am and the chalev of the par and the sar are all offered, because that would already be much later. That's already long after we're finished with the blood of the sar, because that took place while he's in Bigdei Lavan, and those take place when he's already in his third change of clothes in Bigdei Zahav. Necessarily, therefore, that means the pasuk about sending off the sar lazazel is placed in its proper place, and then when the pasuk repeats it a few pesukim later, then it's not to say that that's where it belongs. It's to tell us this sar lazazel that we mentioned before, now we're going to give you another detail about the person who sent it off. Yeah. Okay. So that's that. So now we've established the basic order. Now we've established the basic order of things. So again, you have the first change of clothes for the day is the Bigdei Zahav, where he brings the Tumid and the various other things that go along with it. The second one is the Bigdei Lavan. He does most of the avodah he does the special avodah of Yom Kippur in that. Changes at Tovels, changes into Bigdei Zahav, brings Eloi and El Ha'am, and we talked about different opinions of which Musafim actually go during then. We said, according to Rabbi Akiva, some of them go together with the Talmud Shel Shachar, and you have different opinions among the Rishonim, how to understand Rabbi Eliezer's and Rabbi Akiva's opinions. Anyway, during the third Tevilah, he's bringing Eloi and El Ha'am, possibly also the Chalev of the Par and Sur, although Tosfos had said that those are left over for the fifth one. Changes again. Fourth one goes in, takes out the Kaf and Machta. Tovels changes again into Bigdei Zahav and does the rest of the avodah of the day. According to most Rishonim, that's also when he brings the. According to most Rishonim, there are at least some things of the animals that he's bringing then also. At least the Tumah Shel Bnei Abayim. Maybe according to Tosfos also the Chalev of the Par and the Sur, etc. According to the Rambam, everything, all the animals have been brought by the end of the third change of clothes, and now he's only doing the remaining avodas of the day, the Ketores, the lamps of the Menorah. Okay. Now the Gemara goes into, okay, so now like this. We said that the Kohen Gadol sends off the guy with the Sar Lazazel. Now, when you send somebody on a shlichus, he's supposed it's derech eretz dik that he should report back that he fulfilled his shlichus. So, osi mishaleach. So the Gemara says when the mishaleach comes, the one who sent off the Sar Lazazel, if he comes the next day, motze b'shuk la Kohen Gadol, he finds the Kohen Gadol. So if he meets up with the Kohen Gadol in the street, Oymaloi tells him, Ishi Kohen Gadol osinu shlichuscha. My master, Kohen Gadol, we fulfilled your shlichus. He's reporting back, in other words, that he fulfilled the shlichus. He would not necessarily hang out, but if it happens, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to walk around in the street. He's not a prisoner in the Beis HaMikdash. He's not necessarily walking. Right, he has to be careful not to become tamei. Fine. I mean, in Yerushalayim, most people are tahor. Right, again, when he meets the Kohen Gadol, it doesn't mean that he shakes hands with him. Right, he himself is Tomei, so fine. He himself by now is Tovold. Maybe he hasn't had a hair of Shemesh yet, fine, but okay. So he won't touch the Kohen Gadol, he'll just tell him. He tells him, Ishi Kohen Gadol osinu shlichuscha. We fulfilled your shlichus. Motze Bevesai, on the other hand, if he finds him at home, then he tells him a different lashon, mechaye chayim osinu shlichusai. The one who gives life to the living, meaning Hashem, we accomplished his shlichus. Now, what's the difference? Rashi says the difference is, if it's in the street, so there are other people around, then you want to give honor to the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, he makes it sound as though the shlichus was initiated by the Kohen Gadol. And he says, your shlichus. On the other hand, if he's at home, there's no reason to do that. Therefore, he gives the kavod to whom it belongs, to the Eibishter, who told him to do it in the first place. Marsha says a different explanation. If it's in the street, it's not really derech eretz dik to use Hashem's name casually in the street like that. So therefore, he doesn't mention it, and he only mentions Ishi Kohen Gadol. Whereas if he's in the house, then he can use Hashem, then he can speak of Hashem, then he says Mechaye Chayim. Why he uses this expression, Mechaye Chayim, also Marashah says, he just sent off the Sar Lazazel to its death, he threw it off a cliff. So now he's saying that now that went off al derech, like we say in Kaporis, that now we should have the Eibishter should continue to give us life, unlike that Tzor la'Azazel. The Rashash points out a different thing also. We talked about a few days ago what the Chizkuni brings from a Medrash, that the guy who would always pick somebody to take the Tzor la'Azazel, somebody who they knew with Ruach HaKodesh is going to die the coming year. So therefore, now he has reason to say to the Kohen Gadol, I'm davening that Mechaya Chaim, the Eivisha, should continue to give me life, and I try, and I attack, I shouldn't die during the coming year. Okay.
And you wouldn't be very especially allowed to go into the Kohen Gadol house, right?
Well, again, being a Tzvuyam doesn't prevent him from going into the house. He's not going to be Metame anything just by going in. Only a Metzora or a Mess is Metame place by going into it. So. No, I don't know. We have to make sure no saliva. Even no saliva of a tzibul yom is also not an ava tumor. It's only it would be a lesser degree of. I don't remember what degree of tumor it would be, but it'd be a lesser degree of tumor. Okay, yeah. Since we're talking about this expression mechaya chayim, so the Gemara mentions Omar Rabba ki mifti rabbanon mehadodi b'pumbedisa, when the chachamim of Pumbedisa would take leave of each other when they're going home, the amri yehochi, they would use a similar expression mechaya chayim yitin lochachayim aruchim v'tovim umsakonim, the one who gives life to the living should give you a long and good and fixed up life. So part of the idea is, in other words, different Mephoshim talk about, like this, they're leaving in order to have to make Parnassah, for example. So they're wishing them that you shouldn't need to do that. The Eibishter should give you life and give you Parnassah, and you shouldn't have to leave the Beis Medrash for that purpose. Bifrat, also, they're leaving Torah, and Torah is life. So therefore, they're giving each other this bracha. Marsha also explains the word Mesukonin also implies that they're wishing for them that tomorrow should be much better than today. Every day, a person is expected every day to grow greater in their avodah and in their connection to the Eibishter. So they're wishing each other that. Since we're mentioning about Chaim, the Gemara mentions another drosha about that. Dovid HaMelech says in Tilim, we say it in Hallel, Es Halach Lifnei Hashem Ba'artes HaChaim, I will walk before Hashem in the lands of the living. So what are the lands of the living? Amar of Yehuda, Zemokim Shvokim, this refers to a place where there are marketplaces, where, in other words, where a person is easily able to buy the food that he needs. So Rashi explains, David was wandering all over the place, so therefore he's davening to the Eibishter that he should be in such places where he's easily able to buy food. Tosfos Hashanim asks, not only for himself, he's asking for the Jewish people collectively, when they go into Golos, that the Eibishter should always make, that they end up in a prosperous country where it's easy, where in a prosperous area where it's easy to buy the necessities that they need. Why is Mokum Shvakim called a place of Chayim, Artes HaChayim, such an exalted title for a place of marketplaces? So again, there's a couple of explanations. One of them, Ben Yehoyada says, one idea is that David is saying, even when we're in Mokum Shvakim, we still keep our connection to the Eivishter. We don't become lowlifes like the other people, like the Yoshvei Kronis over there. Therefore, it becomes for us Artes HaChayim. And another point is also like this, if a person is too distracted having to prepare food for himself, he's not going to have the time to partifsich in Torah. He's not going to have the time to learn at a high level. Therefore, David wishes that we should have ba'aretz haChayim, that we have the ability to buy ready-made food easily, and that way we can spend more time on learning Torah without having to waste time on preparing food. Another thing about Chaim, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ki Orech Yomim Ushnois Chaim B'Shalom Yesifu Lach, many length of days and years of life and Shalom will be added to you. So what do you mean Shnois Chaim? Yesh Shanim Shal Chaim, V'Yesh Shanim Sh'enim Shal Chaim? What do you mean? Are there years of life and years of not life? Years of a person means years that he's alive. This refers to the years of a person which get transformed from bad into good. In other words, Rashi explains, you have a person who grew up poor, and then later on he became rich, he feels like he's reborn. He feels like before he was dead, because oni choshev kames, and now like he's alive again. In fact, the word shnois, Ben Yoyada explains, the word shnois, besides meaning years, is also Meloshon Shinui. So there's been a transformation in his life, minakotze alakotze, and now he feels like he's alive all over again. So therefore, the Pasuk is telling you that as a schus for learning Torah, the Eibishter should help that you have that. Al-Derech, like it says in Pirkei Avos, if a person keeps Torah when he's poor, then the Eibishter will give him the opportunity to keep Torah when he's rich. So that's expressed in this Pasuk that Hashem will transform and make that now he has years of life, where as far as by comparison, the years before that were like years of the opposite. another pasuk the Gemara darshins from Mishlei, Aleichem Ishim Ekra, I call to you Ishim. Now, the simple meaning of Ishim means men, but in that case, the usual plural of Ish is Anoshim. So why the word Ishim? Let's explain the drasha, and then we'll talk about what this pasuk is doing over here. What this drasha on this pasuk is doing over here. So Amar Rabbechia Elu Tamen Chachamim Shadayim LaNoshim. This is that perek in Mishlei that begins Aleichem Ishim Ekra is talking the Shlomo HaMelech personifies the Torah. He has the Torah speaking as if it's a person and inviting people to come learn her. So Aleichem Ishim Ekra, Amar Rabbechia, Elu Tamen Chachamim. This refers to the Tamen Chachamim. Shadoimin Lanoshim. They resemble women in being weak. Tamen Chachamim usually actually says in v'sanin. They're humble people. They're weak because, as we know, Torah Mateshes Koicha Shaladam. Torah weakens a person's physical strength. So in that sense, they're like women. But Oisin Gvura Kanoshim. But they still create. They still make tremendous power and tremendous strength because they throw themselves into learning Torah and they bring out a lot from it like men. So in other words, the Ishim, like a combination of Isha and Ish. Because the Zohar has an expression, the stronger the neshama, the weaker the body, and vice versa. You have, for example, the story of Rish Lakish, right? That once he accepts on himself to learn Torah, then he's too weak to jump across the Yarden anymore before he was strong enough to. So therefore, so there's a certain thing that Torah mateshes koicha shel adam, and therefore, so we're saying the Talmid Chachamim have the qualities of women, but on the other hand, they don't act, they don't allow themselves to say, you know what, I'm weak, I'm tired, I'm this and that, I can't be bothered to learn Torah at a high level, at a powerful level. No, they put all their energy into it, like men who go to fight. Therefore, we call them ishi. Now, in fact, there's an interesting explanation on this that. You know, we know in terms of Chassidus, women are makabel, men are mashpia. So you would think, you know, you have, for example, think of it, a Talmid Chacham is often supported by other people, like you have a Yisachar Zvulun partnership. So you're going to think the Talmid Chacham is the makabel, he's like the woman in the relationship. No, the Talmid Chacham is actually the mashpia. Because of him is why the other guy has the money and has the ability to support him, and how the whole world continues to exist is because of the Talmid Chacham learning Torah. So he's actually the man who is mashpia to the whole world, rather than you would think at a superficial level that he's only the makabel. Now, what is this pasuk doing over here? Rashi says that this pasuk, Aleichem Ishim Ekra, is in the same context, is in the same area of Sefer Mishlei, and it's at the beginning of the parasha where we had the pasuk before, Shnois Chaim V'Shalom Yisifu Lach. Now, Maharsha points out that doesn't really work. The pasuk Ki Orech Yomim is in Perek Gimel, and this pasuk, Aleichem Ishim Ekra, is in Perek Ches, much later. So the Siach Yitzchok says maybe Rashi had a different girsa. Maybe instead of the pasuk Ki Orech Yomim Moshneis Chaim V'Shalom, maybe he had a different girsa of a pasuk in Perek Tes that also mentioned about Shneis Chaim Ki Vi Yubir Mecha Ve'Isiv Al Hashneis Chaim. In that case, then Aleichem Ishim Ekra at the beginning of Perek Ches, that one is in the middle of Perek Tes, so it's all within the same parasha. On the other hand, Maharsha says that no, the reason this Aleichem Ishim Ekra goes over here, it refers back to, we said, that the Shliach for the Sur Lazazel comes to the Kohen Gadol and says to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master Kohen Gadol. So therefore, the Gemara brings in a drasha on the word Ishi. Okay. Also the Berechi said, if a person wants to be able to have the schus of pouring wine on the Mizbeach, and now there's no Beis Mikdash to do it, he should fill up the throats of Talmid Chachamim with wine, and give the Talmid Chachamim wine to drink. It means to give them a lot of wine. Yeah. To give them a lot of dry wine to drink. Shenema, Aleichem Ishim Ekra, as the pasuk says, I call to you Ishim, and we're darshaning now that the word Ishim is Moloshin Ishe Reach Nechoyach Lashem. So Maharsha says, now this Gemara evidently would have to be going according to the opinion. There's different opinions in different places in the Gemara what they did with Nesachim when they poured wine on the Mizbeach. Did they pour it into the bowls over there, or did they pour it directly on the fire? Or Gemara evidently is going according to the opinion. They poured it directly on the fire, and therefore it can be associated with the word Ishim. So what's the deeper idea about this? So the Rebbe once explained in a sicha like this. You have, we know in a person's body, you have their head, and then you have the neck from which the hashpah of the head goes to the rest of the body. So the head, therefore, represents the idea. A person has tremendous seichel, a tremendous outpouring of seichel, but then you have to have, you need to accomplish with a mice of a poil. So therefore, it goes through the neck. It gets condensed through the neck, like a tzimtzum, kind of. The problem is, whenever you have tzimtzumim, you always have the problem that there's now room for chitzonim, that now there's room for koichas atruma to get involved over there. Therefore, what we do is, how do we counteract that with yayin? Yayin is the idea of revealing something, of revealing something that was hidden. Because you had the wine was hidden inside the grapes, and now you're pressing the grapes and revealing it. So therefore, in other words, we're saying, what do? To counteract that potential problem, you take the gada in the neck through which all that hashpah is getting filtered through, and you fill it up with yayin, and that way you counteract any negative effect that might be caused by the Talmud Chacham having to condense his seichel into a way that's going to be poil on the world. And that way it'll actually be poil positively on the world without any negativity. But Amar Rabbi Rechia, also Rabbi Rechia says another Durasha, also in connection with Torah, Im roya odam shatora persekus mizarei, if a person sees that Torah is ceasing from his descendants, in other words, he sees, for example, his children are not interested in learning Torah, yisa bas tamad chacham, he should marry the daughter of a tamad chacham. So now that can mean, in other words, that he should marry a second wife, a daughter of a tamad chacham, which in those times you were allowed to. Marsha says actually what it's referring to is that he should make sure that those children should marry daughters of Tamina Chachamim, and those daughters will be poiled positively on their husbands to bring them back. Shenema, as you have a posik in Iyov, talking about a tree, im yazkin ba'aretz shoshay, even if its root gets old in the earth, over offer yomus gizay, and its trunk is dying in the dust, still, mireach mayim yafriach, it will flower again from just the smell of water, but also kotzer kamaynata, and it will produce fruit like a young tree. So in other words, mireach mayim means Torah. Torah is compared to water. So therefore, it means that once you have a bas tamad chacham over there, so that'll have a positive effect on them, and that will be like a tree. Like, in other words, the metaphor is like a tree that's about to die, but then all of a sudden it feels instinctively that there's water near there, and all of a sudden it's sprouting beautifully again. The same way, this family will be regenerated as a family of tamad chachamim through the water of Torah, and that's what Maharsha says. Even you have a bas tamad chacham is only like a smell of water, but the bas tamad chacham is herself not necessarily learned in Torah, but the fact that she's from a family of Talmid Chachamim and knows what learning Torah is all about and the importance of it, she'll have a positive influence on the family and bring them back to the right way and make them flourish again.
But it says that they don't want to go into the path of Torah, but normally the Talmid Chacham doesn't want the daughters married with a person that does.
That's an Amma Aretz. So we're not talking about either actually Amma Aretz, I guess. We're talking about that, where first of all, over here, he's doing it for the purpose of making them Talmid Chachamim again. That would be similar to, you know, we just talked about Rish Lakish. You know, you have, for example, Rabbi Yechanan offers his sister in marriage to Rish Lakish, even though he was a bandit and a thief and whatever. But, you know, he knew that he has the ability with that to bring him back to the right way. So here it would be the same kind of thing. Okay, we said in the Mishnah about the Kohen Gadol, he would make a yomtev for his friends that he came out safely from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Tanan Abanan. Now we said also, we mentioned something that Shevet Yehuda brings from a report that a Roman official wrote about how the street was crowded with people and everybody wants to come and kiss the Kohen Gadol's hand, and sometimes the Kohen Gadol wouldn't get home until midnight. So the Gemara tells a story, Tanan Abanan, Maisib Kohen Godol Echad Shiyotzim Vesinefesh. It happened once that the Kohen Godol left the Vesinefesh at the end of Yom Kippur. Rabbi Azli Kula Amabastre, and everybody was following him, as we said. Kibin de Chazyunu, the Shmaya of Avtalion, but when everybody saw Shmaya and Avtalion, the Nossi and the Avbastin, Shavkuhu the Didei, the Ozli Basa Shmaya of Avtalion, they all left the Kohen Godol. They stopped going after the Kohen Godol and started following Shmaya and Avtalion instead, which is the right thing to do because you have to give more cover to a Tamar Mamza Tamar Chacham, Kohen the Kohen Godol Amoritz. And as we're going to see in the story, this Kohen Godol, unfortunately, was not such a good guy. So therefore, they were doing the right thing. But it's not that Shmaya and Avtalion, of course, they didn't tell people to follow them. The people spontaneously were following them. Meanwhile, Shmaya and Avtalion themselves, the Seif also Shmaya and Avtalion, they've turned him into Kohen Gadol. They came to take leave of the Kohen Gadol and maybe kiss his hand, like we said. So he was very insulted about what had happened, that everybody had abandoned him. So he says to them, Yaisen bnei amomen l'shlom. May all of the descendants of the nations come in peace. In other words, like this is the kind of thing you would say to a goy. Like, in other words, he's saying, you guys are Geirim, or descendants of Geirim. We know they were descended from Sancheiriv. So therefore, he's like dismissing them, like, yeah, you know, you like all the other Goyim should go in peace. A very insulting thing to say to them. This is the Shemayan Italian, yeah. That they are, right. So in effect, he's saying that they're descended from Goyim. It's a Loshen Gnai, Rashi says, because they're descended from Sancheiriv. So like he's throwing that up against them. Omrulay, so now they, you know, he's doing Onas Dvarim, which is a serious issue, plus the fact he's insulting Tumer HaChamim, which is also a big thing. So they answered him, Yaisun B'nam Momen L'Shlom. They say to him, you know what, you're right. The people of the nations will come in peace. Da'avdin Uvda Da'aron, because they act the way that Aaron did, Oyev Shalom V'Roed of Shalom. V'lo Yaisi B'nei Bar Aaron L'Shlom, but the descendant of Aaron is not going to come in peace. D'loy Ovid Uvda Da'aron, because he doesn't act like Aaron did, and he's insulting us. So, in fact, the Ritva actually says that the Ritva actually learns that maybe he didn't mean it so insulting. Maybe he said what he said. He didn't necessarily mean it as an insult, but Marsha says that can't be. Then why would they reply to him with an insult? They should have been Dan Lakapskos. So no, it means like what we're saying over here, that he actually meant it as an insult to throw up against them that they're descended from Geirim. And we know that's a serious issue. You're not allowed to tell the descendant of Geirim, Zchor Ma'aseh Avisecha. So yeah. They were the Nasi and the Abbas, and they were the leaders. Hillel Shammai or their Talmidim, yeah. They are the Makabla Masoda of that time. You know, when the Rambam lists in the beginning of an introduction to Yad HaChazaka, those of us who are learning Shlosha Parakim of Rambam started it the other day, and he lists the 40 generations of Makabla Torah from Masoda, from Moshe and Torah Bashi. Shammai and Avtalion are right in there as one of them. So yeah. So we don't know how this Kohen Gadol survived, I guess, in terms of he did the Avodah right, but he evidently needed his Midas, needed some work, yeah. Okay. Since we're talking about the Godim of the Kohen Gadol, we're saying how the Kohen Gadol is changing between Big Day Zahav and Big Day Lavan, so therefore now the Mishnah is going to digress to talk about the Godim of the Kohen, to talk about those Godim. So the Mishnah says, Kohen Gadol Meshamesh B'Shmoina Kelim. The Kohen Gadol would serve in the Bis Mikdash wearing 8 begodim. By a hediot, by a bar, a Kohen hediot wears 4. And by the way, we don't mean just in other words that it's nice for him to wear them. If the Kohen Gadol serves wearing less than 8 begodim, or the Kohen hediot serves less than 4, then he's Chayav Nisa and the Avodah is possible. So, and the same thing also in certain cases, if they wear extra begodim, is also the same thing. Yeah. So the Kohen Hediot, what the four? The Ksoines is a long shirt, or Michnasayim, pants or breeches, or Mitznepes and a hat, but Avnet and a belt. By the way, I mean, when in the Pasuk, it calls the hat of the Kohen Hediot, it calls it Mikvas. In the pasuk, it calls the hat of the Kohen Hediot Mikvas, and the hat of the Kohen Gadol is called Mitznefes. Rashi says there's no real difference. Rashi on the Pesukim says there's no real difference between them. Different Rishonim talk about different possibilities, how there might be a difference. They might be wrapped around the head differently, or they might be, for example, the Kohen Gadol has to wear the tzitz as well as tefillin, so therefore his has to be wrapped a little more narrowly around the head, whereas the Kohen Hediot is only wearing tefillin, shalosh, that is, therefore his can be wrapped wider. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that the Ravid even says that the Kohen Hediot is not even wrapped at all. It's actually a cap. And the Kohen Gadol is actually wrapped round and round. And there's a few other different explanations what the difference is. Anyway, here in the Mishnah, it just calls it Mitznefes generically, because in Loshen Chachamim, they don't necessarily make that distinction. So that's the thing. One explanation is that the Kohen Gadol has to have room for tefillin, whereas the Kohen Hediot does not. Right. Moisifal of Kohen Gadol, then the Kohen Gadol has in addition, Choshen ve'efod me'il v'tzitz. He has in addition those four, Choshen, efod, me'il, and tzitz. So the Mishnah continues, ve'elu nish'olen ba'urim v'tumim. It's these 8 clothes that the Kohen Gadol has to wear when he's being asked for the Urim V'Tumim. So we're going to talk about the Urim V'Tumim tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Actually, we're going to be talking about them more on Daf Ayin Gimel, so 2 days from now, Be'ez Hashem. But when the Kohen Gadol is going to be asked from the Urim V'Tumim, he has to be wearing all 8 of these clothes. And by the way, who can ask from the Urim Trumim? The Ein Nishalon Elul Melech Ula Av Beistin Ula Mishat Sibur Tzarich Bay. The only ones who can ask by the Urim Trumim are the king, the Av Beistin, and somebody who the Tzibur needs. For example, that would include the Kohen Mashuach Mochama, the one who's giving the speeches before the Jewish people go to war. It would also include anybody else, like a general or something that needs to ask something on behalf of the Jewish people. So it wasn't meant for the average. It wasn't meant for a private person to go ask for whatever he needs. So the Gemara starts off. Let's talk about how the begadim were made. Tonan abanan, dvarim shenamar behen sheish. The clothes of the kohenim, which are described in the pasuk, that they have to be made from sheish. Now sheish means linen, as the Gemara is going to say later. But also the word sheish means six. So therefore, chutan kafel shisha means they had to be made out of six ply threads. So they would take six threads and spin them together and make one thick thread, and then they would use such threads to weave the clothes. As we learned the other day, the begadim of the kohenim are stiff because of that. Moshzar, in places where the pasuk says about a beged that it has to be moshzar, then it means shmoina, then it means it has to be an eight ply thread, which Rashi explains based on the Gemara later. The only beged that we have that by is the rimonim on the hem of the me'il. So we know on the hem of the me'il there were rimonim and there's pamonim, golden bells and rimonim that are made out of tchelas agamon and telas shani. So those each. Thread of those, you had an eight ply thread of tchelas, an eight ply thread of telas shani, and so forth. Me'il shneimal, so the me'il itself had to be made out of a 12 ply thread. Later on, we're going to explain in the Gemara each one of these things how we know it. Poroichas esrim rabba, the poroichas was woven out of 24 ply threads, and choshen ve'efod esrim ashmoina, the choshen and the efod were woven out of 28 ply threads. So let's go through chutan kafel shisha menolon. How do we know that the ones on which it says sheish have to be six ply threads? So shenema de'amakra, because the pasuk says vayasu as a kosnei sheish. The pasuk says they made for the kohenim the ksonasin. Kosnes is the plural of ksonas. So they made the ksonases sheish out of sheish, out of linen. There's some mitznefes sheish. They made the mitznefes out of linen. There's parei mikbois sheish, the beautiful mikbois for the kohenim had yotim. They made out of sheish. There's michnasei abod. Sheish moshzer and the mechnasayim were made out of linen. Sheish moshzer. So therefore, chamisha kroy ksivi. So you have five things that it said. Now it could have just said sheish at the end. It could have said vayasmas akosnes vesamit nefes ves paramig boys, and then say at the end sheish moshzer. So the fact that it lists sheish each one individually means that now we have them available for drushes. So we have five things. So one teaches us legufa is needed just to tell us that they're made out of dekitna ninu nehavu, that they should be made out of linen. The second one is shei chutan kapel shisha. The second one teaches us that they have to be six ply threads. V'chad shiyush zurin. The third one teaches us that they have to be spun, that they have to be twisted together. Now, in other words, that the six threads have to be twisted together. Actually, the Ritva asks on that, of course, if you have six threads, necessarily you have to twist them together. How else do you make a thread? So he says what it means is similar to the way we have with our tzitzis. You look carefully at your tzitzis, you'll see each thread is twisted together out of two plies, and each of those plies is twisted together out of thinner ones. So the same thing over here. What it means is you have to twist together the six to make that, and then you take the six, and you twist them together to make a thicker thread. So you have like a double twist. Each thread is twisted around itself, and then you have the six of them are twisted together to make a thicker thread. So next, v'chad l'shav begadim shalaynem behen sheish. Another one of these times that it says sheish is telling us that the other begadim, which doesn't say the word sheish, that nevertheless those have to include linen as well. V'chad l'akiv. And the last one teaches us that all of this is ma'akiv. You can't make the begadim out of any other material other than linen. And if you do, then they're possible. The Rambam does learn, by the way, which most Rishonim don't, that we don't mean that the fact that it has to be six ply is ma'akid. The diyevid, if you make them out of one ply threads, they're kosher. But l'hatchila, they should be made out of six ply threads. Okay. Linen has to be right. So my mashma dahai sheish kitnahu. Where do we see that the word sheish means linen? Because the pasuk calls it not only sheish, the pasuk also calls it by the word bad, which means the word bad means alone. So it means bad. It means the kind of thing that grows from the ground at individually. Meaning you have unlike, let's say, for example, cotton, where you get many fibers, you get out of the plant. With linen, the way that a flax plant grows, you have one central stem, and you get the flax from under the, you get the flax from inside that stem. So therefore it has to mean that. So the question is now Rashi and Tosfos both point out that you do have another plant that grows like that in the same way, namely hemp. Nowadays they use hemp for ropes and other kinds of coarse cloth. In Hebrew it's called canvas. Probably the word canvas in English is probably related to it, but I don't know. Anyway, it's a coarse kind of cloth. They also make marijuana from that plant, but that's another matter. But the fiber of the plant can be used to make a cloth called hemp. So Rashi points out that grows the same way. Now Tosfos says, in that case, why doesn't the Gemara ask that maybe it could be that? Does that mean that canvas is actually considered lahalacha, a type of flax, and therefore that you would not be allowed to put that together with wool and you'd have shatnez? And Tosfos gets into a considerable discussion, not necessarily. The Gemara is not even asking on that, because we're saying over here you need begodim. Hemp is not the kind of thing that you make begodim from. It's too coarse. You want something that's going to make fine begotten. Tosfos also ends up giving another explanation, that the word bad over here means also that you have one stalk from each seed. Flax grows like that. Every seed is going to produce one stalk from which you're going to get flax. Canvas, hemp, is not like that. You plant one seed and you get it's true, the stalks grow individually, but you get a number of stalks out of one seed. Therefore, it can't be bad. So the Gemara asks, "Ve'ema amra?" Okay, but say that bad means wool. You also have the hairs of the wool of a sheep grow individually. The answer is amra. If it's sobe miftzala, the answer is because wool, while the wool sometimes splits. You sometimes the same way it actually says it. Sometimes you have split ends in the hair of your beard. The same way, wool when it's on the animal sometimes splits, and therefore it's not bad. It's not growing individually. So the question is, "Kitna nami if tzuli miftzal?" No, the same thing happens with linen. While with linen, kitna is linen, while you're processing it, it also breaks up into fibers. The answer is kitna agav lakusi natzil. Sure, when you're pounding on it, which is part of the process making linen, then it breaks, then it separates into fibers. But it doesn't separate into fibers naturally on the plant without that pounding, as opposed to wool sometimes separates spontaneously while it's on the animal. Therefore, when the process says bad, it can't mean wool. Ravina Amameha, her Ravina says, I have a different source for the fact that bad means linen. The Pasuk in Yechezkel, Pare Pishtib Yir Al Roshim, Yechezkel describes how the Kohenim are going to serve La'asid Lavi in the third verse of Mekesh, Yibonim Meheir of Yamenu. It says, Pare Pishtib Yir Al Roshim, they should have beautiful linen, and Pishtim clearly means linen, they should have beautiful linen turbans on their heads, or michnasei pishtim yiu amosneim, and they should have michnasayim, they should have pants of pishtim, of linen, on their waists. So we see that bad, so said the Torah describes these things as made from sheish, or bad, and here in Yechezkel, they describe as pishtim, which means it's the same thing, so therefore it has to be linen. Amalei of Ashi, so Rav Ashi says, you're going to learn from a pasuk in Yechezkel, then according to you, how did we know this concept before Yechezkel came along? For 900 years before Yechezkel came along, the Kohenim was serving in the Beis Hamikdash. Amalei, so Ravina answers him, he answers, nu, and according to your own svara, hard to Amar Rav Chista, what about, what would you say about what Rav Chista says? Dovaz emitodas Moshe Rabbeinu lo lamadnu, midivri Yechezkel ben Buzi lamadnu, the following din we do not learn from any posik in the Torah, we learn it only from a nevuah of Yechezkel, where he says a posik, ko ben necher, any ben necher, which means shenisnaku mice of la'avim shebashmaim, means a mummer, a person who's worshipping Avodah Zarah, doing other Avedas Mahachis, erel lev, if he has an uncircumcised heart, meaning that he's not controlling his heart and making himself sensitive to elikos and to listening to what Hashem says, the erel boser, or if he has erla of the flesh, if he hasn't had a bris milah for whatever reason, even, for example, because of his brother's died because of milah, Rashi learns that way. Tosfos actually learns that somebody that may suecha machas milah would be allowed to do the avodah. Tosfos says that erel boser would only mean somebody who deliberately doesn't want to have a bris milah. Anyway, Yechezkel continues, lo yavei amikdashi l'shor seini, you should not come to buy a basement fish to serve me. So again, that's a din. And the fact is that an erol lev, an erol bosser, is not allowed to do the avodah. But how do we know that also? So what are you going to say about that? How did they know that din before Yechezkel came along? Ella, obviously the answer is Gemara Gemirah. They knew that din about Erol Leiva, Erol Basar as a halacha l'moshen Sinai. But also Yechezkel, v'asmacha akra, and now Yechezkel came and gave us a pasuk that now we can read the pasuk and remember the din from it. But the din existed long before that. It was halacha l'moshen Sinai. It has to be that way, by the way, that Rambam mentions in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, current Gimel Prakim of Rambam, that if a Navi comes and says the halacha is such and such, then he's a Navi Sheker, because Torah lo b'shamayim. So therefore, necessarily, it can't be that Yechezkel is teaching us a new din. It must be that he's writing down a din which already existed long before him as halacha l'moshe misinai. So hachanami, so the same thing over here. Hachanami, gemara gemirila, so the same thing over here. This, that bad and sheish mean linen, we knew that before Yechezkel. But also Yechezkel v'asmacha akra, and Yechezkel came and gave us a pasuk that expresses that one. Okay, so that establishes how we know that the clothes that are made out of linen have to be 6 ply because we're darshaning from the word sheish. Next, moshzo shmoina manolon. How do we know that the word moshzo, which again we said is in connection with the pomegranates on the bottom of the meal? How do we know that means 8 ply threads? So dichtiv, because the pasuk says vayasra shula meil rimone tchelus agomen of selas shani moshzo. So they had rimonim of tchelus agomen of selas. Moshzo that was spun together, the yalich moshzo moshzo meporeches. So now we make a gzeira shaba on the word moshzo from the poreches. Ma lahalan esrim rabba. The poreches we said before in the brisa was made from 24 ply threads, and it has to be because we said each thread is 6 ply, and there were 4 minim in the poreches: tchelas, agamon, telas, shani, and linen, and each of them is 6 ply, so total 24. So therefore, so the same thing over here: afkan esrim rabba. So therefore, over here also it has to be 24 ply. And since in these Ramonim you only have 3 minim, so 24 divided by 3 is 8. So therefore we see each one had to be an 8 ply thread. So each one is an 8 ply thread. So the question is, Tosfos asks, why don't we say instead that we learn that each one is a 6 ply thread, and since there's only 3 of them, you have 18. Okay, Tosfos says because again, you learn from the word moshzo itself that it means that it was spun together as 24 plies. And Tosfos gives another answer as well. Anyway, so the question is, v'nelach mechoshin ve'efod. So instead, why don't we learn from the choshin and efod, where it also says by them moshzo, and say malahal and esrim shmona, kan esrim shmona, and say that then the threads for the rimonim have to be 28 ply. The answer is donin davash lenemer by zahav, mi davash lenemer by zahav. We're going to learn something where it doesn't have zahav in it from something else that doesn't have zahav in it. Neither the rimonim nor the porechas have gold threads in them. La pukah choshen ve'efod shenemer behen zahav, as opposed to the choshen and efod have gold threads in them. So therefore, that's different. So the question is, adad abad donin beged mi beged. On the contrary, maybe we should learn one beged from another, that puki porechas the oil, as opposed to porechas as part of the structure of the Mishkan. So say that we should be learning the rimonim, which are part of a beged, from the choshen and ephod, which are also a beged, and say they have to be 28. Ella, no. The answer is donin me avnate. Rather, you're right. We're not going to learn from the porechas. We're going to learn from the avnate, which is also a beged. V'donin beged v'davash lainem by zav, mi beged v'davash lainem by zav. So again, we're going to learn from the avnate. The avnate, again, is made of 4 materials, tchelas, agamon, telas, shani, and linen. And each one is a 6 ply thread, so that makes 24. So again, the rimonim also have to be 24, but because it's only 3 minim, then it means 8 for each. So it's, and then we're learning from a beged, and we're learning from something that doesn't have zav. So again, the ain't done in davash, ain't by zav, v'davash yesh by zav. We're not going to learn something that doesn't contain gold from something that does. Rav Mori gives a different answer. Ta'asenu, the pasuk says about the choshen, it says you should make it like the eight. You should make it like the ephod. So that's a mir. Ta'asenu lo zev le'la'achar. Only the choshen is made the same way as the ephod. They're both out of 28 ply threads. Nothing else is made the same way. Rav Ashi gives another answer. Va'asisa, the pasuk says that you should make the rimonim, implying shiyu kol asiyas shavus, all the various threads that go into it all have to be made the same way. They all have to be spun the same way. Now, v'heichi neved. So now, if you're going to say it's a 28-ply thread, and there are 3 minim, 28 doesn't divide by 3. So how would you do it? Neved tlosa da'asara. Should you make that each of them should be a 10-ply thread? 10 times 3 is 30. So neved tlosa da'asara asara habenu tlosin. You have 30. We're saying 28. Never trade tisha tisha v'chada asara. Should we say two of them should be 9-ply threads and one would be 10-ply? No, amakrova asisa. The pasuk says you should make them. Should you call us Yosef Shabbos? All the making of them has to be the same. Therefore, the only possibility is to say that it's 24, which 24 divides evenly by 3, and then you have 8 plies for each one. So that's how we learn that. That's how it is. Okay, and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with more of the Bigdei Kohanah and how we learn how they were made. Everyone.